Well, this month's study is the journey to the cross. The journey to the cross. And tonight's message is resurrection. Whose idea was it? Resurrection. Whose idea was it? Now, what month is this? March of 2013. This is which month? Well, it's Easter month. We celebrate Easter Resurrection Sunday on March 31st. Now, let's talk about the crucifixion of Christ here for a moment. Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, was put to death in a most terrible way. He was crucified on a cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. You see, his enemies, the Jews and the Romans who carried out the crucifixion, thought he was dead for good. But Jesus proved them wrong. Jesus was stronger than death. After 3 days in the grave, he did what? He defeated death. He rose from the grave. He was resurrected, brought back to life, and he defeated death. That is good news, right? Death had no hold over Jesus. Eternal death has no hold over us if we've got relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, tonight's text is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and he presents the gospel here in Isaiah 53. And we're going to read Isaiah 53, verse 1. And he prophesies this concerning the sufferings of Christ on the cross. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence nor any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And through the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Verse 11, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion amongst the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So Isaiah here is prophesying the sufferings of Christ on the cross, and the benefits that it would bring us. The most important being eternal life by faith in Jesus. Now verse 11, let's look at verse 11. I believe in verse 11, the resurrection here is foretold. It says, after the suffering of his soul, this is from the NIV, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. In other words, after Jesus suffered on that cross and was buried in the grave, he would be resurrected back to life. He would see the light of life. He would come back from the dead. So it's like Isaiah is prophesying, in a sense, the resurrection of Jesus Christ thousands of years ago, right? And it happened over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill. Now, Paul the Apostle writes about the resurrection in his epistles. And we're going to look at one of the epistles, Ephesians chapter 1, if you got a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 1. And at the end, if you need a Bible, we've got large print Bibles for you here. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And this is what Paul writes to the Ephesians. And he's also writing it to us today. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. So he's praying for the Ephesians, and he tells the Ephesians, I pray that you would know, that you would experience God's incomparably great power in your life. And he's also telling us today, here in Tulsa, here at the Mission, I pray that you would know, that you would experience God's incomparably great power in your life. And he goes on to define this incomparably great power. He says, this power is like the working of God's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's saying that this incomparably great power is like the power God exerted in Christ when he resurrected him from the dead over 2,000 years ago. Now, this word, incomparably great power, in the original language is dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. Dunamis specifically means miraculous power. And in Ephesians 1, verse 19, he compares this incomparably great power with the resurrection power of God. So tonight we're talking about the resurrection-like power of God. God is wanting you to experience in your life his resurrection-like power. Could you say amen to that tonight? Tonight in Tulsa, Oklahoma, March 10th, 2013, God is wanting us to experience, to know his incomparably great power, his resurrection power in every part of our existence. Is that good news? You know, most importantly, we can experience this resurrection power in our spirits. Before Jesus, before we placed faith in Jesus Christ, we were dead in our spirits. But when you placed faith in Jesus Christ and you began that relationship with Jesus Christ, your spirit came back to life. That's why Paul writes, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen? Our spirits were once dead, but we can experience the resurrection power of God in our spirits, especially tonight if you're not saved. If you're not saved, at the very end, you'll have an opportunity to experience God's life, God's resurrection power in your spirit, man. And we can also experience the resurrection power of God in every other part of our existence. Our spirits are most important, but we can experience the resurrection-like power of God, this miraculous power of God in every part of our being. Would you say amen tonight?
Amen.
All right, you can experience God's resurrection power in your emotions. Maybe tonight you feel as good as dead in your emotions. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're down on the inside. I've been there before, friends, where maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost an amount of money. Maybe a spouse divorced you over the last year. Maybe you're grieving on the inside. Maybe you're depressed tonight. Maybe you feel as good as dead in your emotions. I've been there before. I know what it feels like. Sometimes you don't want to get up in the morning. You don't want to be around other people. You don't want to eat. That's depression. That's death in your emotions. But God can bring your emotions back to life tonight. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 talks about a widow of Nain who experienced a loss in her life and how God brought life back to the situation. The widow of Nain, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Whose idea was the resurrection all about? Who came up with the resurrection? Let's answer that question. It was God, right? God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. All right, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. So she had only one son. She was a widow, and he died. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared amongst us, they said. So how many would agree here tonight that this widow was depressed? She was grieving. She lost a loved one, right? She was dead. She felt like she was dead, maybe in her emotions. And maybe that's the way you're feeling tonight. But the miracle worker, Jesus Christ, God the Son, stepped on the scene. And what did he do? He brought back to life a seemingly dead situation. He raised her son back to life, and the whole city and the mother was overjoyed. They were full of awe. They were praising God for this resurrection power of God, evidenced in the life of her son. And God can do it for you. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is no respecter of time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday. He's the same in the present. He is the same forever. The Jesus who resurrected 2,000 years ago as he walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus who can resurrect your emotions tonight. Is that good news? He wants to bring joy in place of your depression. Joy in place of your grief. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Doesn't matter what man may say. It doesn't matter what people may say to you, that it's beyond repair. It's never going to turn around. We serve a God who specializes, who specializes in making the impossible possible. Would you agree here tonight? We serve a miracle working God. Maybe the doctors have given you a bad report saying it won't turn around. You can't be healed. You know, maybe somebody else has said this person has left you. They'll never come back into your life. It is impossible after you've done what you've done to them. But guess what? We serve a God who can turn things around. Amen? He is the God of the impossible. He makes seemingly impossible situations possible. Is that good news? All right, so God wants to bring life back to your emotions tonight. Maybe tonight you're sick in some part of your body. Maybe it seems like death has prematurely come to that physical part of your life. I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's high blood pressure. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's cancer. And the doctors have given you, like I said a minute ago, a bad report. And they say, and they're telling you, you're going to die. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is able to bring life back to your health. Do you agree? We serve a God who brings life back to our physical bodies. You can experience the resurrection power of God in your physical being. He is the miracle worker. All right, Matthew chapter 9, talking about the miracle working power of God. Matthew 9, verses 27 through 30. Talks about two blind men. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. Now, Jesus healed illnesses 2,000 years ago, right? We serve the same Jesus, right? Jesus is with us tonight in spirit. He restored sight to the two blind men. Jesus is able to restore your health to you tonight. You may feel dead in your body, but God wants to give you some of His life tonight. Doesn't matter what the doctors have said, God can completely turn it around. We serve the master divine surgeon. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. Could you say amen? All right. You know, I was preaching at the Tulsa Dream Center a number of years ago. I think it was 2008. And at the end of the service, I had an altar call, and there was a man who had come in with back trouble, back problems. And he came forward to the altar call and he said, "Jonathan, I just wanted to testify here that I came in with back problems tonight. I listened to the message. I came forward at the altar call and God has healed my back. I've got no more back problems." I said, "Testify to the whole audience." And he testified to the entire audience. He started jumping up and down and running around that room. God healed his back. God is no respecter of persons. If God could have done it way back when in 2008, 4 or 5 years ago, he can do it for you tonight. Is that good news? God can do it for you. Say it with me. God can do it for me. See, Paul writes in Ephesians 1:19 that we can experience the incomparably great power of God. He says, to those who what? The ones who experience the incomparably great power of God are those who... He says it in Ephesians 1:19, those who believe. If there's one thing that pleases God, what is it? It's faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God honors faith. If you want to experience the dunamis power of God, the miraculous power of God in your life, the resurrection power of God in every part of your existence tonight, you have got to believe. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to have faith? Faith is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can do it for you. A knowing that you know deep down on the inside of you that God can do for you what He's promised in your life. See, God is looking for doubtless faith. A faith that does not doubt His goodness or His power for even a moment in time. Don't let the media influence you. Don't let other people's voices influence you. Don't let your family influence you, telling you it's beyond repair. This can't turn around. That's false. God can turn anything around that He wants to turn around. Is that good news? God is looking for doubtless faith. If you've got doubtless faith, childlike faith, you can experience the incomparably great power of God in your life. You can experience the resurrection power of God in every part of your being. Amen? And maybe tonight, maybe your mind feels like it's as good as dead. Maybe you're dealing with some type of mental illness. I don't know what it is. You know, some mental illnesses are demonically induced. Some mental illnesses are demonically induced. And maybe tonight you're dealing with demonic oppression in your life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we serve a God who delivers us from demonic oppression. He's so far greater than the enemy. Would you say amen tonight? Amen. He can deliver you tonight. I was in India preaching back in March of 2000. I went to India many times. I did missionary work out there. And I was preaching to about 250 people in March of 2000. They were sitting on the ground listening to the gospel message. And there was this lady in the front that was as I was preaching the gospel, she started to writhe like a snake. And I just stopped in the middle of the message. I looked at her and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to come out of her." And I kid you not, within seconds, she kind of like shook her head, sat back down, and listened to the rest of the gospel message. You could read it in the gospels. Jesus delivered people from demons when he walked this earth. He can do it for you today, for nothing shall be impossible with God. God can do it in your life. You know, the enemy would want to rob you of God's peace. He would want to rob you of sleep at night with this demonic oppression that's going on in your life. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God can deliver you. You can experience the resurrection power of God in your mind. Don't let people influence you. Don't let the negativity of human beings influence you, saying, "You know what? You've got this mental illness. You won't be healed." That's not true. You can be healed in Jesus' name. Is that good? That good news? We serve a miracle-working God. You might be saying tonight, you know, Jonathan, I've been waiting for this miracle so long. I've been waiting a year. Maybe you might have been waiting 2 years. What promise has God given to you, friend? What promise has God given to you? Has God promised you that He would heal your body? Has God promised you that He would resurrect your emotions? Has God promised that He would resurrect that broken relationship? And you're saying, well, tonight, Jonathan, I've been waiting and I've been waiting and I've been waiting, but nothing has happened. I'm here to tell you tonight, keep persevering in your faith. When it gets tough, just keep believing God, for God is faithful. God will never let you down. Say it with me tonight. God will never let me down. In Jesus' name, He is a faithful God. Amen. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that you are in the hollow of God's hands. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If He has promised you something personally, if He has promised you a miracle from His written word, He will perform it. But you have got to persist. You have got to persevere in your faith. You've got to keep on believing God for that miracle to become real in your life. Is that making sense here tonight? Don't give up. A lot of people give up when they are on the threshold of their miracle. Some people are right on the threshold, around the corner from their miracle, and they give up. And friends, you may be on the threshold of God's miracle in your life tonight, of the manifestation of His resurrection power in your life tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight, keep holding on and don't give up. Is that good news?
Yeah.
Last time I was here, I told you that about Abraham of the Old Testament. We talked about Abraham. Abraham, God promised Abraham and said, Abraham, I am going to make you into a great nation. Abraham was 75 years old when God made this promise. When was the promised son born through whom the great nation would come? Isaac. He was 75 when God promised him to make him into a great nation. How old was he when Isaac was born? He was 100. So if you take 100 minus 75, what's that? 25 years. God promised to make Abraham into a great nation. Abraham, without wavering in his faith, waited 25 years for the manifestation of the promise. And you've been waiting maybe a month or maybe a year or maybe 2 years. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't give up, don't quit. Keep believing God's resurrection power will become real in your life. Is that good news? Yeah.